Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2024 Masters. We have finally made it to Augusta. The countdown is finally over. Well, not yet. They'll be teeing up on Thursday. We're close. We're very close. It's Augusta. It's Masters week. So we'll get you ready for that. All the fun stuff there and much, much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Cup. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. I know you got to be doing really good. You got Masters and got some more fun coming up right after the Masters. You're in a happy place right about now.
Yeah, it's pretty good little last 3 weeks of April for me. So, yeah, excited to be taking off to Hawaii. So, there won't be any show for the next 2 weeks unless you do it yourself.
I might do a solo show if I squeeze in the time, so bear with me, people, if you want to hear me. Like you do. If you listen to my baseball DFS show, it'll be pretty much close to that. We'll get you in, we'll get you out, and move you on the way. So we might get you something there. No promises, but that's the goal for now. But you got a fun one on your hands. I'm happy for you.
I appreciate it.
We got the Masters, though, so this is fun. Before we get to that, we just got done with the Valero Texas Open. This is the wild part, so... I went to go, I can't remember what I was doing. I was doing something. Batia's got like a 5-stroke lead. Like, cool. I went to go take care of some stuff, pulled my phone out to see to make sure he won. And they just were starting the playoff because Denny McCarthy went nuclear on the back nine, birding 8 of 9 holes. So obviously that lets you know I didn't get to watch any of it. But did you catch any of Denny McCarthy's craziness? And then I would have felt so bad if Batia would have lost that because he didn't play bad to lose it. McCarthy's played his ass off.
Yeah, so I watched the women's final game, and then I actually went out to mow the yard. I thought
I watched the women's game when I left to go do something.
Yeah, I was exactly like you. I was not paying attention, but I had a buddy who bet, Akshay, and so that after I got off the mower, my phone was lit up, and I was able to catch literally the last like 2 shots of the playoff, where after Denny, I guess, dunked one in the water full, laid the sand or led the sod over it, and then it just lost it right there. So yeah, but an incredible insane back nine.
Insane.
I didn't watch much this weekend. I was away. I did catch, and I'm sure you did too, Jordan Spieth's 18th hole on Saturday.
Oh my, the best part is all the tweets, they're just titled Full Spieth Effect. And that does some, like, if you've watched golf enough, it made perfect sense when you saw Full Spieth Effect. It was, I wish that would have happened in the Open Championship when he got that BS drop there. I wish we had done something similar, but.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't even know what to say about that. Cause I mean, we bitch about backstops all the time, and dude just literally hits it off of the
top of the clubhouse
on purpose.
Yeah.
Because and still made double with no penalty shots. Oh, you did have a drop.
There should be about 7 shots onto there somewhere along the line.
There is you 7.
Hit, I mean, it should have been 7 extra. Like he hit it out like off the golf course. Like you need to
twice. His shot tracker is like he's in the white of the shot tracker. He's not on the hole.
Well, I think it might have been the little bit I watched on Sunday when I saw that, Smiley was talking about how he talked to Jordan afterwards and kind of Jordan's thoughts on what he was doing. And it was really entertaining, to say the least, because he's like, well, if I was about a yard this way, I could have done this instead of this. He goes on this whole like blueprint on the whole plan of attack. He's like, and I just went 1 yard too far. That's why I ended up in the gutter. I was trying to like hit it off the face of the clubhouse to get it to bounce back. And I'm just like,
I did not see that.
Oh, I don't know how much of it, if Smiley's just having fun with his buddy at the time, but you can believe some of it with Jordan. So I'm like, I can see this, because he's talking about if he was like a foot back from the rocks, he's like, I can just hit it over it and I've been just fine. And it was wild stuff.
Yeah, that's just taking it to another level, the whole use of temporary movable objects. I mean, but the clubhouse, how is that in bounds?
Yeah, that's
There's got to be an OB over there somewhere.
Well, I guess because there's that fence he hit it over that counts as a temporary movable object. That there was some that was like part of the line of BS, basically.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make. We've said it for years. Even the fence that's there. Hey, you're a professional. That's out of play.
Right.
Like, that's just the way I see it. So
yeah.
Like I know if I go and play with the boys, they're gonna make me drop and put like a penalty no matter what, even if I tell them it's movable object.
Right.
So yeah, for sure. I'd expect more from a pro, I guess, is the way we're looking at this. But yeah, pretty bonkers stuff to say the least on that. And Jordan went full Jordan, as they like to say, and yeah, rightfully so. But yeah, Bhatia got the dub. Happy to see that. We saw some, got Rory up there. We had Hideki with a nice week. Ludwig had a good week. So some of the guys we needed to see playing well coming into the week looked good. But other than that, yeah. Anything extra on the Valero?
I got nothing, man. I'm ready to move on. This.
Well, Doral took place. Didn't know if you saw that at all.
I didn't pay attention, but
Burnmeester, who I loved playing at $6,800 on DFS, he actually won over there in a playoff over Sergio. That's Sergio's second playoff loss of the year, getting ready right. And there's a lot of Doral comps I've been hearing on recent shows last week. And like I thought it was silly at first, but people like showed guys that played when PJ was at Doral actually played really well at the Masters. So it emphasized short game was the big take home, basically. And Terrell Hatton, if you get bored, Jesse, go just search Terrell Hatton. A lot of hot mic incidents this week, lots of them. Yeah. Walking in putts, he thought he missed. Just a million Terrell. It was a Terrell Hatton week. Let's put it that way. He went full Terrell while Spieth went full Spieth this week. We got the whole thing. But yeah, other than that, you can tell Brooks doesn't care and he's ready for the Masters. He finished like plus seven. Anthony Kim still on the struggle bus. Did you see any of Anthony Kim's interviews before the tournament where he basically said he had no idea that Tiger won the Masters?
Yes, I saw that.
Like, that's how checked out this dude was.
He was in La La Land, man.
He didn't pick up a club until about 3 months before he came back. That is...
It shows.
Yeah, it shows in a big way. Like, I might have... he must have been hurting for some cash, I guess, because like my pride eventually would get in the way of things again. Not if they're throwing a bunch of money, maybe not, but there's a point where you still got to be competitive, man. It's just embarrassing after a while. But
right.
We'll see. All right, let's talk Augusta. Let's talk Masters. We got plenty of event history. So what do you got for us?
Yeah. So last year, John Rahm was a champion. 12 under, four shots over Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson. 2022 was Scottie Scheffler. 10 under, three shots over Rory. 2021 was Hideki. 10 under, one shot over Will Zalatoris. Dustin Johnson won in 2020, but it was in the fall of 2020. He was 20 under, five shots over Sung Jae and Cam Smith. Tiger Woods, 2019 champion for the fifth time, 13 under, one shot over DJ. Brooks and Xander, Patrick Reed is in the field, past champion. All these guys are in the field, except for the real old guys. Reed shot 15 under his year. Sergio shot 9 under his year. Danny Willett, 5 under his year. Jordan Spieth, 18 under, which was the record until DJ broke it in 2020, but that was in the fall. So the spring record still 18 under.
Yep. Very, very tough golf course in the spring. As we know, we will have 89 golfers because Ash K made it number 89 for the week. It's T50s and within 10 shots, I believe is what I remember this one. So
I don't know if they have the 10 shot rule anymore or not.
I'd hope. I was trying to find that and I couldn't find the exact info on that. I thought I heard some. Maybe it's T50s and ties now instead of within 10 shots.
I think it's T50. Yeah. And all players inside the top 50 getting.
Okay. That's what it is. T50.
Yeah. The 10 shot rule's been eliminated. It's been
thank God. Because like you had that 10 shot rule on a rough scoring week and the entire field almost makes the weekend. It might as well be an elevated event at that point in time. But where we're going with this is there's 89 golfers, T50 and ties make it. So well over half the field is going to make it to the weekend. And there's a bunch of just guys you can cross off at the bottom, essentially. So on paper, unless just some like Scottie Scheffler chalk bombs or something, there should be a ton of 6-6s this week. So just be prepared for that one out the gate. But when you're looking at Augusta National Golf Course, like I kept thinking, do I even give a course preview? Like if you listen to this show, you should probably know about Augusta National at this point in time. Just going to throw it out there. But I'll give you a couple tidbits because they have lengthened it over the last few years. Like each year they add a little bit to it. It's par 72, of course. It's 7,500. I've seen 7,510 to 7,575. So I guess it depends on where the tee boxes are that day, on what you're going with. It's got the hardcore bent grass greens that everybody loves. It's a Bermuda course with the super fast bent grass greens, usually 13 to 14 on the stem. There's a cool little video out there of a guy showing you how fast the downhills are at Augusta compared to the uphills. It's like wildly different. Like, common sense tells you uphill is going to be slower, but this is like downhill went 35 feet, uphill went 4 feet. It was just crazy to check out the differences there. And that's what makes this course so unique. You know, you got your trees, but you got super wide fairways, but they're the undulating fairways. There's a lot of elevation changes at the golf course. This course is all about, you can hit your driver, ask Bryson how that went. It's more about you need to be in certain spots to set up your next spot. I know we say that a lot of golf courses, but Augusta is that course because you need to know where that spot is. And then on your next shot, you need to know where to hit it on the green or where you're going to miss so you can chip it up type stuff. Like, there's so many different levels to this course besides just like, hey, go hit it 280 here and then you have 120 in. Like, it's not that easy at this golf course. And that's why I think giving your course preview is kind of pointless. And it'd be like, there's a reason why first-timers don't play great here, because they can read a course preview too. Like, you need to go play this golf course. And that's why so many guys like par is a great score on nine holes. Nine holes, you need to make birdies. The four par fives, you need to attack. Like the nine holes, you don't need to make birdies, but you should. That's what I'm trying to say. The par fives, you have to, basically, if you stand a chance. There's a lot of stats out there that show the past winners just crushed par fives. And that's most tournaments, but more important here. Scrambling is very key because you got these very fast greens, but not a lot of like fringe. So there's a lot of runoffs. But even when you're chipping it up on the green, like, do you bump it on the short stuff to get it to slow down? Like, there's so many. That's why guys like Phil, like, he's got such a great short game. He could survive here. There's little intricacies like that throughout the entire golf course. That's why the old school guys, like, we're going to see it again on Thursday. You can just feel it. Freddie Couples somehow will be like two under through 12, because like, it happens every year. He slowly disappears as the week goes on, but he does it every single year. And it's just one of those things. So, yeah, I'm not going to go super in-depth past that, but just know you're going to hear elevation changes, wide fairways, but their angles and all these different factors. And the greens are some of the most difficult green complexes in all of golf. But and that's where the experience really comes into play. So what stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, par five scoring matters because the par fives are gettable, and that's really your main birdie holes because they are not very long, comparatively speaking. Doesn't make them not difficult, but that's where you need to really make birdies. Short game matters a lot around here, as you just said. And then the course history is probably one of the biggest course history weeks of the year. So it matters quite a bit around here. Obviously, there's only 87 golfers. Like you said, 6-6, generally speaking, is pretty high. There have been some years where it hasn't been, but that's just, you know, if massive chalk misses, which has not been happening in the last 3 or 4 years in general on PGA DFS. So I wouldn't anticipate that. But yeah, I mean, that's the main thing, is have a good short game. Keep in play, like you said, keep between the trees, and attack the par fives when you can.
Yep, attack the par fives is probably one of the bigger take-homes of this entire one. All right, let's do it. Let's talk DK scoring on this one. And more importantly, just enjoy the week, folks, because this is one of those that you don't get back to next year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
10K and above, we got five golfers here. You got Scotty Scheffler at 12-1. And real quick, there's no 5K range this week, which is good, which would have been tough with the crappy guys already in the 6K range. But
yeah, but Scotty then would have needed to be like 13 and then Rom.
Yeah, 13 or 14. Like, and he gave me 14, Rom 13 at that point.
Right.
But yeah, Scotty's 12-1, Rom is 11-2. Rory's 10-8, Brooks is 10-2, Wyndham is 10,000. This is going to be fun to see where ownership. I guess I'll pull some ownership up while you talk, because we should have some by now, actually.
Yeah, I mean, from what I'm looking at, you know, Scotty is going to be the chalk. I think rightfully so. I mean, obviously he's a past winner here. Finished 10th last year, finished 18th in 21, 20, 22 he won, 19th in 20, and then obviously second, first in his last three starts, hasn't finished outside the top 10 since the American Express back in late January. So it's Scotty up here. I mean, like, that's not a hot take. If you want to play any other guys, I totally get it. If you're mass entering, I would definitely get at least a sprinkle of all these guys. But, you know, it's the best of the best. Rory is the guy that has the most pressure every year coming in to win this tournament, and has yet to be able to do it. So it'll be interesting to see how he ends up. I don't think I'll play Rory because I may have like three lineups maybe, and then they may be two out of three with Scotty. I might do one that doesn't. I might go 100% Scotty, but Scotty's the dude. I mean, it's just hard to not play him. Because traditionally speaking, when you come into the Masters, the guys who are playing good tend to continue to play good. So,
yeah, no, it's going to be tough to avoid Scotty. That's kind of the boring answer up here. But he is by far the best golfer in this field. I don't know if by far is fair. John Rahm is John Rahm. I know he's been on LIB, but he's been competing every week over there. He hasn't won, but, you know, people might clown him for that. Still, I think there's still good golfers over there. It's still hard to play golf that well for multiple days in a row. But I think Rahm could be a fun one, obviously, defending champion. He's played well even before that. The one that's fun for me, like, I'll have no Rory again. Didn't have any last week. He finished well. Okay, so be it. I'll still be staying away from Rory because eventually he'll win it, but I just don't know. It's not going to be on my dime. Brooks Koepka and Wyndham Clark. Now, because Scheffler and Rahm is like in a tier of its own, obviously pricing and just skill-wise. And most lineups, I think, have at least one of those two in it. That's just what it feels like to me. Like you said, Scheffler is going around 22 to 23% on my stuff here. Rahm's 13, so that's not bad. Brooks is 17.5, so he's the second highest in this range. There's just something about this, you know, the lazy answer. Brooks at majors, it's just a thing. And he's doing the math already, saying I could probably eliminate three quarters of this field before we even tee off, and he's not wrong. He competed against Rahm and just kind of fell apart at the end, but that was like his first real tournament back where he said he felt healthy. So that then he comes out and just dominates the PGA. So there's, I think there's a lot to be said about Brooks, and it's pretty simple. Wyndham's the dude, though, that I think if you want to get a little different. Wyndham's fourth in my model, playing great golf. He's like that new, you know, we talked about before, like big game hunter, like Brooks.
Yeah.
He's fifth in driving distance. He's second in par five scoring over the last 24 rounds. He's second DK scoring, if you just want to look at that in general. His putting's very, very good, which is something to think about here. The scary part, can you guess, Jesse? It's his first time here. So
yeah. I mean, that's the big thing. That's
scary. Yeah.
So
to pay 10K for a guy like first timers can make the cut to win's a different story. 10K, yeah. We need a dude to probably top five at least.
I mean, yeah, you got it. If you're going to play Wyndham and the 66 percentage is that high, he's got to win the tournament.
Exactly. So that's where it becomes tricky. But like if you're doing, like I've been doing like five lineups lately, I'll probably have one Wyndham, probably one to two Brookses, and then a couple Skies. Rahm might be the odd man out just the way I'm building it in my head right now. But we'll see where things go. I'll have zero Rory. If Rory wins, kudos. Like, congrats, Rory. But I know you played well. He played well at Valero, but there's really nothing that's pointing me that he's ready to win at Augusta right now. Just doesn't point in that direction. 9K range. This guy looks good. Xander Schauffele at 99. Got Neiman at 96. Vic at 95. Cantlay 94. Spieth 93. Willie Z at 92. Ludwig at 91. And Hideki at 9K. Man, if Scotty wasn't so good, I'd easily have just two or three guys here right out the gate.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, you could do that potentially in a cash lineup. But the cash this week is a little bit ridiculous just because of the amount that gets 6 of 6 through. But starting up top with Xander, for me here, you know, 10th, miscut, 3rd, 17th, 2nd, 50th, and his starts here since 2018, and back-to-back top fives for him. Three of the last four top fives. He's coming in really good form. You already went through all the names, didn't you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're good.
My desk phone's ringing. Got people calling. We'll go ahead and put that thing on Do Not Disturb. Hovland, 9,500. Four out of four made cuts. The thing about Hovland is his form coming in is not where you want it to be. I was really high on Victor this year, and he has not performed very well. Could be sneaky. He has, you know, he finished 7th here last year. Worst finish was 32nd back in 2019. So the potential is there. The low ownership, I think, will be there, and maybe he figures it out. Jordan Spieth, every year at the Masters, you just play Jordan Spieth, even if he's not in necessarily the best form in the world. Fourth, miscut in 2022, but 3rd, 46th, 21st, 3rd, 11th, and, of course, is a defending champ or is a past champion as well. Come off a 10th place finish at in Texas, but I will play Jordan. I got Zalatoris and Aberg checked off, but I would rather go, I think, Ludwig just because of his form coming in. Will was flashing there for a while and then miscut 74th, which makes it more difficult. Now, he has played here twice. His worst finish is sixth. His other finish was second. So the course history is there. So it's kind of like pick your poison. Either you're going Ludwig with the form or Zalatoris with the course history. Yep. Guy who has both is Hideki. I don't know. Is he going to be 1,000,000,000% owned? It's hard not to play Hideki. Hasn't missed a cut here since 2017. And back-to-back top 10s. He's inside the top 12 in those last four. He's got a win this year at the Genesis, which is a good comp to this place. So past champion.
Yeah.
I mean, Hideki's got it all. I'm showing 23% owned.
Yeah. For me, I'm looking at, 22.5. Yeah, he's very, very popular. Him, Xander, and Scotty is like the massive chalk right now up top. And it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
It does. I mean, it'd be,
we talk about a great
start if you can do it that way.
We talk about a course that's so important on like past history. Those three dudes just dominate this place. And this is where it's like we talked about it time and time again, as more and more people continue to play golf DFS, there's more and more shows, more and more content everywhere. Like, there's good chalk. And those three to me are probably close to good chalk, all things considered.
Yeah.
So just get different down below. Like, if you get all three in a lineup, you're going to have to go way down below. So you're going to be different probably out the gate. So,
yeah.
And this is where, like, if you fade Scotty, I'd probably go Xander and Hideki together.
I think that's not a bad start at all. I think both of those guys have a chance to be inside the top five on Sunday.
Exactly. So if you fade Scotty, I would say start with Xander and Hideki. That's my biggest takeaway from this show, I think, just out the gate here. We haven't even gone past 9K. But yeah, I'll echo. I won't go too deep into it because Xander is a beast. He's actually second in my model. So it's not just like how well he's played here. You mentioned coming in, like, there's a lot of long iron shots here because it's a long course. He's number one, 200 plus the last 24 rounds. He's second in bogey avoidance, second in three putt avoidance. He's fifth on the par fours, 450 to 500. Like, this rates out beautifully. It's his putting that's kind of held him back a little, but not a ton. He's a fourth around the green. You got to be able to scramble here. He does all that very well. So I do like the X-Man. I think Victor is your interesting one. Like you said, I don't have him checked off right now. It's because that form's still rough, but like, dude, you get a 7.5% Victor Hovland. He's been taking some time off. You'd have to imagine he's trying to ramp up. You never know. He's a kid having fun too, so you never know. But you'd imagine he takes things pretty seriously. He's talked about it. I wouldn't be shocked if you want a low-owned play. Well, there you go, 7.5% Vic. Like, that's who you probably pair with Scotty if you want to be different out the gate. Throw a Vic in there to have some fun. Other than that, though. Yeah, I got Ludwig, Spieth, because, like you said, it's Spieth, it's Augusta, you just play Spieth. But I'm with you. I have Ludwig. He's fifth in my model, or Ludwig, $9,100. First-timer, but if there's ever a first-timer I trust to do anything dangerous here, it's probably him because he has the driving distance and the accuracy. That's what Scotty does, too, and that's tremendous. So it's just a matter of how quickly can Ludwig learn the greens, because his three-putt avoidance ain't good, 68th in this field, and that could become very, very bad here. But he would be a dude, and then Hideki 100% out of 100. He's third in my model. So, yeah, Scotty's first, Xander second, Hideki's third in my model. That makes sense for what we're looking for here. For once, I make fun of the model all the time. That one checks out, folks. Checks out.
So they're all probably missing the cut.
Yeah, no shit. I told you I was going to 100% Norman last week. I did. He made it on the number at plus one when one of the last groups kind of faltered. He had a big weekend after that. I was sitting there sweating hard on that one. All right, 8K range. We got Cam Smith at 89, DJ 88, JT 87, Finau 86, Cam Young 85, Morikawa 84, Homa 83, DeChambeau 82, Burns 81, and Lowry at 8,000. Who are you liking here?
Yeah, I mean, I had a buddy call me today, and he was talking about his lineups that he'd already made. I mean, Cam Smith is – I don't know. I have no idea what to do with him. He withdrew from the event in Miami, but he has played here a lot, and he hasn't missed a cut here since 2016. He finished third in 2022. I'm just a stay away. Like, I think you have to have – I don't know that he has the drive anymore to be a great professional golfer. I mean, he's got paid, and he enjoys sitting on his boat and fishing and playing live. So DJ is a little bit different, 8,800. obviously past winter here. I didn't say that was in the fall, but still he's played here plenty of times. He's finished second in 2019, which was a spring event, 48th here last year. So he's interesting. But like of the guys that I will actually consider playing, Justin Thomas is one. He didn't miss the cut here last year. He's coming in not great, but in the past, he has done well around this golf course with a couple of top tens. So I think he's interesting. Tony Finau is a guy who just every now and again just pops up and like finishes inside the top 10 on the leaderboard at Augusta, even if he's not in great form. Now, this year, he's coming off a second place finish at Houston, missed the cut at Valspar, 45th at the Players, Genesis, top 20. So he hasn't missed a cut here since at least 2018. And then Shane Lowry is a guy who I think might go overlooked, especially in this range, with a lot of more names in between there. I'm not a huge fan of this range to begin with, but Shane is a guy who I think probably should get more consideration than really just about anybody in this group. 16th, 3rd, 21st, 25th in his last four starts at Augusta National, and is finished inside the top 30 in his last four events. Couple of top fives in there. I really like Shane at 8,000. But again, I'm not a huge fan of this range. So that would be my one I feel good about guy in this range. I don't know. You tell me, man.
Well, what's your ownership looking like on him? Cause I'm almost at 20%.
Yeah. It's not looking as low as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I think it's that price tag in the history here. I guess. And there's a bunch of tweets out there, like you mentioned, PGA Tour splits and some other guys that throw some cool little things out there. Lowry's like the one that stands out with all the big dogs, like in recent strokes gained or this, that, or the other. Like he somehow fits the mold every time. And I wish people didn't tweet that stuff out. yeah, Lowry looks pretty nice this week. So yeah, I have Lowry checked off. I'll leave it at that. Does look good. His three putt avoidance is his downfall if there's one to pick at here, but we'll see. Morikawa at 84. And people should know I am not the biggest Morikawa guy on the face of the planet, but two things. You got about 7% ownership looking at Morikawa. We're talking about long iron play, and as it's been inconsistent, obviously, but still one of the better guys on tour when it comes to stuff like that. Pretty good par four score. But one thing that stood out to me with Morikawa, 10th, 5th, 18th the last 3 years after a 44th in his debut. So he's starting to figure this place out. That's the key to a good iron player is when you're having to hit certain spots with an iron, that goes a long ways. For Alec Morikawa, he struggled at the Valero, 45th of the Players. It's been a rough go for Morikawa, but I think he could be quite interesting.
Yeah, if you look at, like, just I like to kind of go back to last year. Like, he finished 10th here last year, right?
Yep.
Before that, he played the Players, finished 13th, missed cut the API, but finished 6th at Genesis, missed cut Phoenix, 3rd, 2nd, Farmers and TOC. So
pretty good.
Yeah, he was, but he missed hit a couple missed cuts in there too, which is strange. Similar this year, but just doesn't have the high finishes coming in. But I do understand what you're saying. And I mean, the fact that he finished 10th here last year, really, I mean, he had some higher finishes, but he had a couple missed cuts there too. It's a very strange thing to look at there, but I'm with you.
Go ahead. Yeah. Because, well, there's the thing is like, okay, so we already said Scotty, Xander,
right?
Hideki, Finau is going to be on that list. And for good reasons, for very good reasons. Lowry might be getting on that list. So this is where we get different. We talked about Vic. For me, it's Morikawa in this range, if you want to get different. I got DJ checked off too, though. I think he could be another one with that past history. You want narrative streets, like we talk about like in the NFL and stuff. If you watched Full Swing, that looked like a different pissed off DJ from like we saw back in the day where he's kind of got embarrassed watching things. Now, who knows? He's still on his boat. He's still doing his thing. He's in GQ ads and stuff. How much do we take into account? But he seems to be a little more focused this year than he was last year. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And that gets my attention as well. But yeah, it's a big range. It's Lowry and Finau for sure for me. DJ and Morikawa, kind of the mix and match spots. I'll be rooting for home as usual, but you got to prove it to me in these events, boy. 7K range, Fitz, he got it done last week at $7,900 this week. Harmon, 78, Day, DeGala, M, Hatton, Fleetwood, Connors, Kim, Reed, Minwoo, Fowler, Rose, Henley, Bhatia, Scott, Kim, Jägerbombs, Taylor, Phil, English. Largest range thus far. Who we like in here?
Yeah, I started talking with Thigala at 7,700. He did play here last year. First start, finished ninth. First and only start, finished ninth. Coming in off a 28th place finish, Houston, ninth API, ninth players, sixth API, 37th Genesis, fifth in Phoenix. I mean, he's had some pretty good starts, so I think he is most definitely playable. Corey Connors, I hope he's not chalk. I think he's going to be chalky again. I mean, I feel like he is every year.
Every year he is, because he's always priced so cheap. Everyone says iron play.
Missed the cut here last year, but before that was three straight top tens at this event. And it's coming in pretty good form. I mean, he hasn't missed a cut since the U.S. Open back in June. Russell Henley at 7,200 has played here plenty. Hasn't missed a cut here since 2013. Finished fourth here last year. Fourth at at the Texas Open. Missed a cut the players, but fourth at the API. Genesis, he was 24th. Adam Scott is a guy who just has been around here plenty. I feel like he's a pretty solid cash game play. And I could see him, you know, kind of sneaking into the top 20, maybe top 15. In order to win like the $1 million, like the $20 million, whatever, or $5, you have to have everybody inside the top, like probably eight, in order to win the actual $1 million. So just keep that in mind. I mean, you have to get so lucky in this particular tournament. Siwoo Kim at 7,100 hasn't missed a cut here since 2017. He's played here every year. 29th last year, 39th, 12th, 34th, 21st. So some pretty solid starts for him. And coming in off a 17th place finish in Houston, sixth at the Players Championship. Genesis made the cut, 44th. Another comp, I think, is the Century as well. 25th there for him. And then last but not least, Harris English, man, he's kind of just sneaky. I remember you talking about him last week. Mm-hmm. I haven't really been paying attention. He did miss the cut last week. Yep. But before that was 19th, 21st, and 7th. And he's made the cut three straight times here. His best finish was 21st in 2021. But, yeah, those would be the main fellers there I'm looking at.
Yep. I'll be going right back on the Matt Fitzpatrick chain. 10th year last year, 14th the week before. He's made five straight – or year before – he's made five straight cuts at Augusta, at least. He finished 10th last week at the Valero, 5th at the Players, the 5th with the Players, but he realized he had a weight in his driver. We talked about it last week. And then you look at Fitz to make it even more fun. Projected about 14.5. It's not ideal, but it's a lot less than some of the other big dogs we've been talking about. So I'll take my chances there. Brian Harman, I really want to play, but he's missed two straight cuts here after a 12th in his first career start. Like, that's a very odd profile. 25th last week, missed cut at the Valspar, 2nd at the Players, 12th at Arnold Palmer. Like, if he could figure it out, usually the old narrative, lefties got a great advantage at this Alistair McKenzie course. He'd be a fun one because he's coming in like 6% ownership. So Harmon's a guy I'm just kind of debating in tournaments as being that different guy this week and going from there. Other than that, I like Sahith a lot. A lot of people like Sahith. That's a popular one. He's 18th in my model. 6th in bogey avoidance, great putter, 11th on par fives, played great here in his debut last year, finishing 9th, which is very hard to do in your debut. He's projected to be over 20%, though. Like I said, a lot of people like him. Another fun one, so kind of maybe my one in this range, is Sungjae. Like, we know how bad Sungjae is playing right now. He's kind of missed cut at the Valspar. He's taking the last 2 weeks off. T31 at the Players, T18 at API. Those aren't bad. Okay. You can live with that. Now, the fun part, you look at the tournaments, 16th, 8th, missed cut, 2nd. That's pretty good. Pretty good at this event. $7,600, coming around 5% owned. Again, form we all know has not been his favorite. He's 71th in my model, 71st. There's what, 88 golfers in this field? So that is less than ideal, but that could be one of those kind of tournament changers. Always love Tyrrell Hatton. I'll take him. Fleetwood's fun, too. He always kind of just hangs out and has like a 7-under Sunday at every major. And it could get windy. The weather, we didn't really talk about that. Looks like a lot of rain maybe Wednesday night. So it could be really wet Thursday morning and then kind of get, you know, soft and playable Thursday afternoon. And then Friday to start drying out and look good again. So maybe something to keep if it does get a little windy, those dudes come into play, but I'm not too focused. You mentioned Connor, 17th in my model. I got no problem playing him. Probably won't play a chalk Connors, though. Patty Reed at $7,400 is another guy I look at here because even we thought he sucked, he finished 4th last year, 35th, 8th, 10th over those last 4 years at the Masters. Obviously, I don't have any past event history because he plays on another tour right now. But we look at Reed, 13% owned. Not sure I want to play a 13% Patty. Wanted to mention him. Scott, Siwoo, like both of them. Siwoo a lot, actually, 23rd in my model. Plays really well here. And then I can't just cross Phil off. I don't think I'll have Phil, but if you're doing like 20 lineups, I'd have a few. I'll say that much. Because he had a rough week last week at Doral, I believe, but he's been playing actually decent over there. Finished second here last year. I'd keep an eye on him, but I'm not like forcing that by any means. All right. Who you like in the 6K range?
Yeah, not a lot. Chris Kirk at 6,900 is definitely playable. 3 out of 4 made cuts for him. He did make the cut last year. Before that, he hadn't played here since 2016. He missed the cut then, but year before that, 33rd. Year before that, 20th. So when he's made the cut, he's finished inside the top 33, basically, including that 23rd place finish here last year. He won at the Century earlier this year. Missed the cut to Genesis, not great, but 3 straight cuts for him, made cuts for him. On tour, 26th, 44th, and 28th coming in here. Hadwin is another guy who I think has a chance. He's 2 out of 3 made cuts at this event. Missed cut in 20, but that was the fall event. 24th and 36th in 2018, 2017. Come off a 5th place finish at the Valspar. Genesis, he finished 4th. Century Tournament of Champions this year, finished 14th. Taylor Moore at 6,400. He has played here one time. He made the cut last year, finished 39th. He's coming in really solid form. Houston Open 2nd, Valspar 2nd. Genesis earlier this year, 31st. Century 25th. And I mean, there are other guys down here that are, you know, you could definitely play, but those would be the 3 main targets for me. And I'd like to be talking to somebody else if you don't care.
Keegan Bradley, I always have a soft spot for. He's 6,700 bucks, 36 on my model. Only thing he doesn't rate out great at is putting, and not great on the par fours, but you're like 21st from 200 plus, 25th on par fives. If you look at his last year at this tournament, finished 23rd, didn't play until 2019. We finished 43rd. That's all I got so far, but 23rd last year is pretty nice. And then you just look at recent form though. It's ugly. Miscut at the Valspar, miscut the Players. 36 the API. So what Keegan are we getting? But I do like him in tough conditions. Taylor Moore, I love. He's 19th in my model. So I'm with you on that at 6,400. Then it's like Schwartzel, 6,300 bucks. Not the best golfer in the world. But if we're talking about old guys that would not shock you this weekend, 50th, 10th, 26th, 25th, the last 4 years here. That plays. I like Lucas Glover anywhere just because of his iron play. He's 6,300 bucks. He's 41st in my model. He's 5th around the green. 6 from 200 plus, not great on the par five, surprisingly, with Glover. And if you look at past event history for Glover, it finished 30th in 2022 after a miscut in 2021. So depends on what you're looking for there with Glover, but 6,300 bucks, a dude I think that can contend. I don't mind Shank at $6,200. It'll be his debut here. He's just another one of those guys that for value, like he finished 5th at Valero, 33rd at Valspar, 19th at Players. So Shank at 62 is a dude I'd go to as well. But I'm with you. Not a ton I'm in love with down here. All right, let's recap things. 10K and above.
Scotty?
That's fair. I can't even tell you not to this week. I'll go Rom to be different, but it's Scotty. 9K.
Hideki?
As I pick your poison. I'll pick Xander since you picked Hideki, but we had that long discussion earlier. 8K range.
I'm going to say Lowry.
Lowry is definitely the pick. I'm going to go Morikawa. I'm going to go Morikawa on that one. 7K, give 2. It's a big range.
Thigala and Henley.
Let's get weird. Give me Fitzpatrick and Sungjae. I'm going to have a nuts, crazy GPP lineup. I can see it already. 6K range.
Chris Kirk.
I'll go Taylor Moore. Taylor Moore, 6,400. If you're playing cash this week, which it's almost like a no-cut event, but it's not, what are you doing for cash?
Yeah, it's difficult, but the prize pools are so big this week, it's hard not to. I would go like Hideki, Xander, and probably Connors.
I'd go like, I'll give you 4. I'll give you Hideki, Xander, Finau, Lowry. Just start there. Probably add Connors to it if you want to see where your money's at that point. Maybe have to mix it up a little more. GBP lineups, though, this is where it gets fun. Where are you starting?
Yeah. Scotty, you want the winner. Obviously, you got to have the winner. He's going to win 4.5 to 1 somehow. So Scotty, Jordan Spieth, and then Siwoo Kim.
All right. Here will be the start of my stupid GPP lineup. So if you can decide if you want Scotty or not, I'll leave that to the listeners on this. But give me Morikawa, Fitzpatrick, and Sungjae. Let's have some fun in that range and see where it goes. All right. Picks to win this week. Betting lines, just Scotty's 4.5 to 1. Got Rahm at 11, Brooks at 20. What are we looking at this week?
Yeah, I've placed wagers on Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, Hideki, and Sergio. Just going off the Sergio's playing well narrative.
He's playing really well. He wouldn't.
It's 110 to 1. I mean,
he'd be a good top 20 bet. I don't even know what his number is, but
worth a shot. Let's look at
the top 20. Let me pull up a surge. He's a plus 280.
Yeah, so
that's a fun top 20 bet.
It's a really weird thing with Sergio, though. Like, if you look at his course history, it's
all or nothing.
It's really strange. So I'll just bet him to win. Those are my four right now. I do like, if you want to get really weird, take Scottie Scheffler and then
UConn basketball.
UConn. That gets you up to almost 10 to 1. If you take the minus 7, if you go money line, then it doesn't really help much. It's 6 to 1. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably a bet I will actually just go ahead and make right now.
What was that? Sorry, you broke up on my end. It's my fault.
No prop. It's, just UConn minus 7. Yeah. You can even tease it down a little bit if you want to. And then Scotty Scheffler to win.
There you go. I'm looking at top 20. Scotty Scheffler is minus 500.
Yeah,
it's freaking nuts. Not wrong, but it's nuts. Yeah, this is the problem with a field like this. So many good golfers. Like, are we really paying plus 125 or Finau plus 130? Or I guess if you want plus money, it's plus money, but that's starting to get a little too in the weeds for me. So, yeah, look at your tournament winners. And I'd say this much, if you want to bet Scotty, wait till Friday. See what happens Thursday. You might get like at least 8 to 1. Who knows? Like,
what if we make a miscut parlay real quick.
Ooh, do we have those odds on here? Yeah, tournament props, I'm assuming. Oh, make miscut. There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Miss the cut parlay?
I wonder if – no, make the cut.
We want. Okay, I was like, Tiger Woods is minus 165. You can't – don't even put Scotty in. That's worthless. Plus 2,500. Holy minus 2,500. How many people?
I don't know. Let's just see here. Just throw a name out and I'll click on it and then we'll throw another name out.
Okay, I would say I'll go at least below my put Lowry.
Yep.
Let's go with.
I think Jordan Spieth minus 425 is a little bit low.
Oh, I missed that one. Guys, yeah, Lowry is the same price. Take them both right next to each other. I'm an idiot. Yeah. Put both of them. Put Finau.
Finau, where's he at?
He's minus 370.
370. Okay. Yeah, that seems.
Do you want to put Sergio minus 275 for fun or no? Do not trust that one. A little too risky.
I don't trust that one as much.
Okay, Corey Connors minus 340.
Okay.
That's four. Where are we at on our odds?
Plus 150. Yeah.
That's not the worst. Let's spice it up with one more. Let's put Siwoo in there at minus 380.
Okay. Yeah. So that's basically 2 to 1. So plus 216.
Yeah, that's a little fun money for a couple of days.
Yeah. See
what happens.
We'll throw that on there. So we got Lowry, Spieth, Finau, Connors, Siwoo.
Nice. I can't wait to hear how that goes come Thursday afternoon and then Friday afternoon.
The bet's been placed, so.
Oh, sweet. Let's do it. Let's have some fun. But on that note, my friend, any final thoughts? It's a phenomenal weekend. I have rain expected on Saturday, so I might have to stay home over the weekend. Oh, no. My daughter's going to have to learn how to watch a lot of golf. That's all I'm going to say.
So or else you're going to have the iPad pulled up or whatever.
Yep, she'll be watching Alpha Blocks on the iPad, that's for sure.
Yeah. So it's,
I'm watching the TV. She's not getting the TV.
It's a great week for golf. That it is frustrating at the beginning because they do not have the first couple holes on anything, which still blows my mind how you don't have 1 through 3 on anything at all, featured holes, because it doesn't start to like 4 or when a feature group goes out. So it's frustrating at the beginning. But the app is great. Got to download the app. And then, it's just it's a great week because obviously, it's Augusta. It's, in my opinion, the best tournament, but it's also the beginning of, some kind of spring golf season. It's a lot to look forward to this time of year.
Yeah, it's the absolute best, but We'll see. Hope everybody enjoys it. I'll say that much. I'm off the top of my head. I should have looked ahead of time. I believe Heritage is usually the week after the Masters. That's an elevated event. So I'll be bringing you guys that one. If it's an elevated event, I'll be done in about 15, 20 minutes because that'll be a small field. So
it is Heritage. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That's and then elevated. Punta Cana is opposite that.
Oh, maybe we'll get wild, but we'll see. I should have something for you guys.
And then Zurich is that.
I will not be doing the Zurich. Yeah. You're on your own on that one, folks. So perfect time for your vacation.
Actually, it's not bad timing.
Perfect time for your vacation. So I'll bring you guys a solo Heritage next week. We'll take the Zurich off and we'll be back after that. Jesse, you'll come back so tanned.
I might be able to call in on Monday or something. We'll see if we can arrange something.
You're with your wife in Hawaii, hopefully playing Kapalua.
Monday, I'll be just flying in. I'll be getting to Hawaii at 2:30 Hawaiian time. So it'll be like 5:30 your time. Oh, so it'll be a little bit later than usual for you. So we'll just see. We'll just play it by ear. Yeah.
All right. So that'll do it, folks. Make sure you follow Jesse on the Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Hendrick, and most importantly, enjoy the Masters. It's going to be a beauty. Just hopefully Tiger can play 4 days. It's all I care about. I get just don't embarrass. Just don't be an embarrassment, but we'll see. But we'll get you. The show goes on all night, till the morning we